What is he showing us? All right, before you judge, all right, here's my question. Sound guys and media people in the back, this is a test for you, all right? I need you to help us answer this question. What was wrong in that video? It wasn't even plugged in. Like, his DJ's up there doing, like, all this really sweet stuff. He looks really cool, but his mixer wasn't even plugged in. So, like, it was totally fake. And there he is. Like, did you see how into it he was? Like, he was jazzed. And people are like, yeah, this dude's awesome. But really, when you look into what was actually happening there, he wasn't even plugged in. Like, the whole thing was just this big act. All right, so I know I'm getting really intense, really fast on you as we're starting, but we're in the middle of a series, so what do you expect, right? What's our series about, those of you who were here last week? Anybody remember? Yeah, back to school tips. And so we're talking about how we can go back to school with confidence. And that we're looking, it's called We're Back, and we're looking at the word back, and those are our tips. And last week we looked at the B from back, and we talked about the fact the first tip is you need to believe the things that are true. Because there are a lot of things to believe, and the world wants to just shove different beliefs down your throat, but not all of them are true, but there are things you can believe. There are truths that God speaks over you, and we can believe those things, and as we do believe the right things that God says are true about you, you start to form this thing that we call a worldview, right? And begin to like look around you and see things through this filter called the worldview that help you know as you approach different people that want to give you different advice, you can look and say, wait a minute, that doesn't fit in what God's word says about me. Or yeah, dude, that's right on. And so the things that we talked about was first that we can believe that we're all born sinners and broken. And that none of us are worthy to be able to look up to God one day as we die and we stand at the gates of heaven and say, hey, God, I can come in. Here's why. Because I'm such a good person. Or I'm really funny. Or I have awesome hair. Like, none of those things are ever going to be good enough. Nothing you and I could ever accomplish will ever impress God enough for Him to say, yeah, come on in. You know why? Because He requires perfection. And you and I can never be perfect. So he speaks another truth about us. He says, I know you're imperfect. I know you're not able to ever be perfect. So I'm going to send someone who is perfect to die for you in your place and to pay that penalty you have so you can be forgiven. And his name is Jesus, and he's my only son. And if you believe that truth, that Jesus is enough to save you and forgive you of your sin, the Bible says you will be saved. And so we're born broken, but God loves us so incredibly much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us so that you can be made brand new. And your new identity is a child of God. You're no longer his enemy, you're actually his child. And so this week we're looking and saying, all right, if I'm a child of God and he has this great, great love for me, then he's going to have a great, great big plan for me. And so some of us are going through this life that we're calling Christianity because mom and dad are Christians and they go to church and they bring me to church and they make me go to Sunday school and they make me go to Firehouse on Wednesday nights and maybe even a Christian school and do all these things because it's mom and dad that believe it. And so I gotta go. And maybe some of us have gotten really good at playing that game and we're kind of like that DJ up there at the dance. We know the moves. We're playing it, man. And people are looking at us and we're into it and we're selling it and they're dancing to the tune thinking, yeah, they believe in Jesus. They are good Christians. They go to church all the time. Look at that. And people are believing this act that we're putting on like that DJ. But really, if you look at the power cord, you're not plugged in. It's kind of fake. It's 100% fake. And so the first thing that we looked at was believe, and this week, because we're children of God, we're going to see something that we don't have to fake it. Because you're God's child, this thing is real, you have been plugged into the greatest power source in the universe, who is God Himself. Life itself is your power source. You are plugged into God, and He tells us that He wants us to remain plugged into Him, because we were created to be plugged into Him. And so the A of back, all right? We looked at B, which is believe those things. And if we do believe those things, the A is this, that we would acknowledge that He has this great plan and mission for us. If I'm truly a child of God, God has big plans for me that I can believe and follow Him in. And you guys know it very well. How many of you know the mission statement of First Baptist and of Firehouse? Who can yell it out? What is it? Love God, love people, and go into the world. You know why that's our mission statement? Because Jesus sums up the whole Bible by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love others as you love yourself. And later he goes to his disciples. He says, I command you, go into all the world and make disciples of every creature. And so we take that and say, that's what Jesus' mission for us is. And we need to acknowledge that because we're his children and he loves us so much, he has big plans for us in that mission. And so tip number two for you guys as you're thinking about going back to school is acknowledge God's mission for you. We can simply put it in those three things. Love God. Now we talked about being plugged in, right? Being plugged into God. And I want to read you John 15:4 because he gives us a little insight into what that looks like. How do you get plugged in to God? What even is that? Well, listen to this. John 15:4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now you think about this, like this picture he's giving us here. It's this vine, and this vine is growing, and it has different branches that come off it, and the grapes grow on those branches. And that's the part all of us like, so this big juicy grapes. But if you were, let's say, a branch, make your best branch for me. How many of you can be a branch? Anybody? A few of you can do it because you're cool, not like too cool yet to do it. Awesome. We like you. So you're a branch. Just imagine that. And you have to produce fruit, but you don't have a vine you're connected to. You have no way of getting nutrients from the soil to be able to then produce this fruit. You have no power, you have no strength, you have no life, you have nothing. So your little branch without that vine falls to the ground, and then it just kind of withers up and gets dry and cracked and just dies. And Jesus is making this picture that there's no branch that could ever produce fruit or even have life unless it stays connected to the vine that has these roots that go down into the ground and bring up energy and life. And that's like you and me. But the funny thing is that so many of us, myself included, try to do this thing we call Christian life, and we try to do it without Jesus. We try to do it like we like Jesus to be the one that's our hero, and he comes down and he saves us and he goes to the cross, and I can trust in Jesus for salvation. But beyond the salvation part of it, I kind of try to then go, well, the rest I'll do myself. Thanks, Jesus. And then we get really frustrated. Because we start to have the sin pop into our life. And as we come up against the sin over and over, it keeps kicking our butt, and we keep getting destroyed by it, and we keep falling to temptation. We show up at our youth pastor's office, and we're like, hey, Rob, man, I got to sit down and talk to you. And so I just keep like, man, I try not to do this. I know it's wrong, but I keep getting sucked right back into it. What's happening? And my first question is always this. Are you connected to Jesus? And usually, yeah, man, I'm saved. I didn't ask you if you believed that Jesus died for you. I said, are you connected to Jesus? Because this verse is talking to believers that says, you're saved, so abide in the one that saved you. That word abide means stay in. Stay there, remain. Constantly be a part of. Abiding in Jesus would look like you waking up in the morning and just immediately going, God, good morning. I can't wait to see you this morning. Can't wait to see your face. I can't wait to talk to you. I can't wait to pray and tell you about just the things that are going through my head and heart and mind today. I can't wait to read your word and hear about what you have for me today. I can't wait to get out of this house and go to school and walk through my hallways today and just take you by the hand, God, and see the conversations you're going to open up for me to have with my classmates and my teachers and my coaches. I can't wait to see the conversations you're going to let me have today, or the people that you're going to let me meet that I can serve. My friend that might come hurting today that you're going to give me the opportunity to put my arm around and to encourage and to love. God, I can't wait for today just to spend the day with you. Can't wait to meditate on the things that I've read this morning and my devotion from your word. I can't wait to practice those things. See, abiding in God means that we don't just kind of like unplug when it's comfortable. Yeah, I feel charged enough, God, so I'm unplugging. We live in an iPhone society, right? And so everybody's used to, like, if you have the iPhone 6, you're used to charging your phone like 20 times a day, right? Because it stinks. But some of you have the longer phones. So like once a night, you hit that point where your phone starts to send you those notifications. You're like, oh, better go plug it in, right? You plug it in and the next morning, bing, you get 100%. And some of us are even slaves to that charger. Like, I've seen some of you on trips freak out because you couldn't find your charger. Like, what will I do without my phone? You know, like, you're at 3%, life is critical, you're about to just give up on everything. You're like, I need my charger, right? We're in that society that says just plug in when you need it. Just go plug in. If it's time, if you're feeling low, then go plug in and get it charged up. And unfortunately, I feel like we approach sometimes, especially your generation, this like Christian life by doing that. Like, God, I feel so sad right now. So-and-so said this to me today. I need to come just plug into you. God, like, man, this is happening at school. I don't know what I'm going to do. I better come plug into you. And you name it. You name the crisis that's happening in your life that drives you back to Jesus to plug in. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't plug into Jesus during crisis time. He's exactly where you should run during a crisis. But hear me. It's not just that. Abiding in Jesus means you don't only seek Him during those times. It means that you stay plugged in. We're in a wireless generation. Like, we don't like to be plugged in because plugged in means dependent. Right? Like, I want to be free. I want to be able to run around and do what I want. I want freedom. I don't want plugs and wires and all that stuff. I don't want anything holding me down. And so we almost look at God and Jesus and this Bible that we have as this, like, is these shackles. I mean, it's holding me back. I don't want to stay plugged in. But I got news for you. God created you and I to be dependent on Him. The healthiest you will ever be spiritually, physically, in any other way is when you are totally plugged into God 100% and dependent on Him. The amount of joy that you have in your heart when you realize that the best place for you is at the feet of Jesus. Oh my goodness. But we don't like to be dependent. But your greatest freedom lies in your dependence on Jesus Christ. Abide in Jesus with your life. That every second of your life be this joy to say, God, I get to be with you right now. I get to spend time with you. I get to see you work in my life. I get to follow your Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God, you should take joy in abiding all the time in Jesus Christ. I like to think of this is how I would like to, and I'm not saying I always do, okay? I'm not perfect at this. I'm not even good at this. But this video that I'm going to show you right now is going to show you how I picture how I would love to be able to just hang on to Jesus. Check this out. Now listen. Yeah, maybe, I don't know, I didn't do it, but it's funny. And the deal is, like, that's kind of how I picture myself. I want to be like that when it comes to my relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying work really hard to impress Jesus. I'm saying just desire Him so much in my heart that I'm always like, Jesus, like with my arms out like this, like a little kid to his dad, like, I want to be dependent on you. I want to hang on tight. The reality is that Jesus is holding us, and we can rest in Christ. But it seems like even resting in Christ is hard because the sin of this world is always pulling my heart away from Him out of that rest and saying, like, Rob, come over here. This is more attractive. You'd rather do this. You'd rather live this way. You don't want to be dependent on God. And God's like, hang on to me. Rest in me and you will have more joy than you could ever imagine. But you need to trust and believe, right? You need to acknowledge that your mission is to abide in Christ. To have this intimate relationship where you joyfully wake up in the morning and open the Word first thing and start to pray and talk to God. Now, if I were to be honest, if you were to be honest tonight with me, and I were to ask you, and I don't want you to answer this, but just in your heart answer this maybe to yourself. How many of you guys wake up in the morning and you open the Word of God every morning? How many of you seek Him first thing? You wake up and you open the Bible and you're reading through. I think I recommended the book of John as a great place for you to start if this is your first time doing this. And just slowly start to read a couple verses at a time in the morning and just say, God, I'm looking for You today. God, I want to hear from You right now. And as you read it, you think through it and you pray to Him and say, help me practice the things I'm learning in here today. Because you have a hunger for Him. You have this craving that says, God, let me grab the branch. Like, I want to hang on. Hold your hand that way. I want to spend today with You in an intimate way, not just some religious, cultural way or some expectation my parents have. I personally want You, Jesus. That's what abiding in Jesus looks like. And it doesn't stop when you're sitting in a classroom surrounded by friends who would rather be disrespectful to the teacher and want you to join in. Or a group of boys who wants to bully some kid because he's different and they want you to join in. Or the talk and the jokes and the things that go on in the locker room and they want you to join in. Or the gossiping that happens in that group of girls as they see a girl go by that they don't like. And they want you to join in. But instead, the person who abides in Jesus courageously seeks Jesus even in those situations. Because there's no time to say, let me unplug right now and just do this, Jesus. I am abiding in You even in the difficult times because I want You more than any of that. Jesus, I want to stay plugged in. And if that's true, there's something cool that happens. As you intimately begin to know God and engage God, He starts to work in you and He causes you to love other people. Remember His Jesus summary of the Bible? Love God, and then He says, love people. It's this natural outflow of loving God. John actually tells us that if we don't love people, but we say we love God, we're liars. And so what he's saying is that as you love God, you will begin to love others and serve others. So that's the second thing we should acknowledge. We're called to intimately engage God, but we're also called to love the people around us. Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to read this to you, a couple of verses, verses 3 to 8. Check out what Paul says here. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And here it is, ready? Who, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Our greatest example is always Jesus. And as we're called to love people, we can look to Jesus Himself, who stepped out of heaven for you and I to become this humble servant. The King of the universe steps down and becomes a humble servant to me and you. And in His service, He says, I am obedient to You, God, all the way to the point of dying. So these people can be forgiven. I love these people so much. I'll give my own life on a cross. That's how He served you and I. That's how He serves you and I now. that if we believe like we saw last week in Jesus, that act of service we're talking about this week is what causes us to act, to be saved, to be forgiven of our sin. So as you abide in Christ, what happens is that that same mind of Christ becomes your mind, is what Paul says there in Philippians 2. And you begin to look at other people through different eyes. And you see the people around you, instead of seeing the dude that doesn't fit in that you guys want to bully, you see a dude who was created by Jesus, whose price tag on him is the blood of Jesus because Jesus died for him. And Jesus loves him the way you should now love him. And that girl walking by that you group of girls are tempted to gossip about because she does stuff that you don't agree with. Now you see someone who was created by God to be a princess of heaven, and maybe he's calling you to be the one to share love and service and the gospel with. Gives you brand new eyes. Eyes that love people and cause you to want to serve others. And that happens both inside the church and out. And so we see in Ephesians, let me read you this verse. It's Ephesians 4:16. It says this. It's Paul speaking again. He says, "From whom the whole body," talking about the church, us, "joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Paul calls us a body. This church, this family, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you're here tonight, you're part of the body, and we're all different parts. We're feet and hands and mouthpieces and eyes and ears and some of your butts. Just kidding. Just kidding. Some of you might be. But we're all different parts, right? And so as we have a different part, we have a different responsibility. And Paul says, as we come together and take that responsibility and do it well, what's happening is the rest of the body's working right, and it begins to grow and get stronger because of the love that we're lifting each other up in. Well, what happens when the foot just says, "I don't feel like doing nothing"? And the rest of the body's limping around like this. What happens when a tiger comes along? You're getting eaten, right? Like, you ain't running away. Like, the foot, you better start working. You know, it's important. All the parts have to work together. You are a part. Not when you're like 35. Not when you've reached the big church side and you're in adult classes or college classes. Right now, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have been plunged, immersed into the body of Jesus. You're part of the church. You are a part, a valuable part of this body. And if you're not serving this body, you're hurting this body. When all the parts work properly together, it builds the body up. So I want to encourage you. If you're not serving, if you're not looking to see ways that you can serve this youth group or this church here, look into ways that God has gifted you and called you to serve, to be that part of the body that God's made you to be. Some of you are so gifted in like just welcoming people and being loving and having eyes to see others with compassion. I watch you greet new people as they walk in. You guys are just like, immediately run up and you're welcoming and you put your arm around them and you invite them in. That's an awesome gift God's given you. Use that in our body. Use that to make people feel welcome. Each one of you, some of you have the biggest giving hearts I've ever seen. The second there's some need, you're running up to me going, "How can we help? What can we do?" Each week, you're dropping your allowance into the offering bucket. Like, you have a heart that says, "I want to give." That's awesome that you give. Use it. And if you're sitting there like, "I don't know what mine is," come talk to me or to your leader. We would love to help you discover what your gift is so that you can use it as part of the body, because that's part of what Jesus is saying here. Love people in the church by serving them well. Love your community and those who are lost by serving them well, just like Jesus did when he came on the cross. And then finally, this is the last part of the tip that we need to acknowledge in the plan of Jesus is this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This incredible news that you and I have, this unbelievable, mind-blowing news that is so good that you and I have, should be something that's on our lips that we want to share and we can't hold in our hearts because we want people to know this incredible news. And so we saw last week, we need to believe it's incredible news. We need to truly believe it. So we're not that DJ who's just kind of going through the motions and we're not plugged in, but it's a legit thing that's happened in our hearts and we want to share it with people so they can be saved. Paul says this in Romans about himself. Check out what Paul says. I love hearing Paul's heart here. It's Romans 15 verses 18 to 21 if you're following along. He says, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience." Hear this. "By word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus," check this out, "I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." Paul says, "I make it my ambition in life." You know what an ambition is? It's this thing that you just go nuts for. Put it that way. It's the thing that you are going 100,000% after. It is your ambition to accomplish the goal. And Paul says, "Here's my ambition. My ambition is to preach the gospel with my words and with my deeds." What would your school look like if you went back this year with an ambition to show everyone in your classes and hallways and teachers and coaches, through your words and through your deeds, that Jesus is Lord of all and that He can save those who believe in Him? Holy cow, what would happen to your classroom? The people around you? How would your school be different if just one of you went back and decided, "That is my greatest ambition because Jesus did it for me"? Wow. And Paul even goes another step further. He says, "I'm not even preaching the gospel where people have heard it. I'm going to the places where no one's even heard the name of Jesus." Paul's going to crazy places where you'll be killed for even speaking the name of Jesus. Because that's what was put in Paul's heart. And I want to encourage you, as a child of God, that your greatest ambition would be to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because you can't do anything for anyone if you're not intimately connected to God first. In a real way. And if that's true, that you would begin to love and serve the people around you, whether they're in your church or out and around the world, and that your greatest ambition would be to bring them the great news that Jesus and Jesus alone saves. Will you bow your heads with me for just a minute? Close your eyes. Some of you guys are here tonight and for the first time, maybe you're even hearing that Jesus can save you of your sin. You're hearing this word sin and disobedience to God, and that you're separated from a Creator God, and your mind is boggled by all of this. And you want to know more, maybe tonight, about what it means to be in a relationship with the God who made you. And I'll tell you that there are leaders and myself here tonight, and we would love to have that conversation with you after the service. If that's you tonight, will you please come find one of us and just say, "Like, I don't understand much of all that stuff you were talking about, but I'd love to hear more." We would love to talk to you about that. And there may be a few of you here tonight, and maybe you're like, "Man, I've heard it over and over because I come all the time and you're always preaching the gospel." So tonight, though, something different has happened. Something's in my heart tonight that says, "I've never done that and I've never been forgiven, but tonight I want to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." If that's you tonight, will you do me a favor? Will you just slip your hand up in the air quietly, just hold it up and say, "Rob, will you pray for me tonight? Will you just put me on your prayer list to pray? Because I want to know that I'm saved. I want to be able to get to the gates of heaven, and when God says, 'Why should I let you in?' I want to be able to say, 'It's because your son Jesus has forgiven me and saved me.'" Will you just raise your hand up and say, "That's me. Will you pray for me tonight?" Thank you. And then if you're here tonight and you're like, "Hey, listen, I've done that. I've plugged in once. You know, I've been saved. But that whole thing about abiding in Christ, that I need help with that. Will you pray for me tonight, Rob, that I can abide in Jesus, that I can wake up in the morning and get in the Word and seek Jesus out and spend my day with Him and be full of joy over who Christ is? I want that relationship. I want to abide in Christ. Will you just pray for me that I can have help and encouragement to do that? Will you just slip your hand up and say, that's me. I want to live that way with Christ. Anybody else? I see your hands. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Let me pray for you right now. Father, we love you. And we thank you for the greatest gift we could ever receive. Your love. Your forgiveness. Your grace. Thank you for Jesus dying for us, God. I pray, Father, that as these students are looking to go back to school this week, that you would fill them with courage to plug into you and stay plugged in. If there are those who've never accepted you as their Savior, Father, that they would do that. They would lay their hearts and lives before you and be saved. And for those who are saved and they're raising their hand tonight, courageously saying, I want to live for you 100%, Christ, and stay plugged in to you. Will you help them? God, will you please fill them with power and strength to be able to do that? Lord, we love you and we just pray that our words and our deeds would declare your gospel even as we leave this place tonight. It's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.